Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Billboard.com Pop Shop Podcast. My name is Keith Caulfield and I am the co-director of charts at Billboard. Joining me, as always, is Billboard.com senior editor Katie Atkinson.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm feeling very special today on this special edition day.
It's a special kind of day. Well, we'll tell you why it's special in just 1 second, because the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the week's big pop news, fun chart stats and stories, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Now, on this week's show, it's a special edition dedicated entirely to counting down the top 10 biggest selling albums of the entire Nielsen Music era, or the last 25 years. Katie and I will count them down from numbers 10 to number 1 and surprise one another, well, hopefully surprise one another, with fun facts about each album. Plus, we've got an interview with one of the guys behind the biggest selling album of the last 25 years. Spoiler alert, Lars Ulrich of Metallica. The band's self-titled 1991 album is the biggest selling album in Nielsen Music history, with an incredible 16.4 million copies sold. And that's just in America. I spoke to Lars on the phone a few weeks ago for a Billboard magazine story about the 25th anniversary of the album, and we thought we'd share some of our conversation in the podcast. But first, before we get started on this big countdown and our interview with Lars, if you enjoy the podcast, and, well, you know, why wouldn't you, subscribe to the show on iTunes so you won't miss an episode, and give us a rating or review while you're at it. If you have any questions for us, feel free to tweet us at Keith_Caulfield or KT Atkinson. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit iTunes.com/Billboard Podcasts. Katie's like, It's like, I need to work Katie more into the intro. I say too many things. We need to get you talking
But it's
more.
Like business. You got to get through the business.
Well, we can give you some business.
Yeah. I'll stay my own terrible Twitter name that is hard to find.
Careful what you wish for.
K.T. Atkinson.
K.T. Atkinson.
Just think of K.T. Tunstall.
Well, full disclosure, we are recording this episode in advance due to our work schedules this week. So make sure to check out Billboard.com for all of our normal charts coverage about the latest happenings on the charts, including the Billboard Hot 100 and the Billboard 200. In case you were wondering why we aren't talking about this week's charts, it's because we're recording it where we can't actually talk about this week's charts.
Yet.
It's, you know, timey-wimey, wibbly-wobbly.
But we're still doing chart chat. It's just a little, it's historical chart chat.
Historical chart chat. It's a very more specified but general chart chat. Anyway, so let's dive into this countdown. Some background about Nielsen Music. They actually started electronically tracking point-of-sale music purchases in the United States in 1991, and Billboard started using that data in making our Billboard 200 albums chart in May of that year. It totally revolutionized how... Did I say that right?
Yes.
I always think I say revolutionized wrong. Revolutionized.
You got it. Oh, well. Just revolution and then add an ized.
Revolutionized. That actually makes more sense to think of it that way. Well, it revolutionized, right?
Yes.
It's like me saying dimmy, dimmy. Dimmy,
dimmy.
Dimmy, dimmy. Dimmy. Anyway, how our chart works, it totally revolutionized it. And since then, Nielsen has expanded its data world to include AirPlay and streaming tracking, among a million other things that Nielsen does. It's not just Nielsen Music. Nielsen captures all sorts of consumer data. You know, they do TV ratings. They figure out how many books are sold each week. They know, you know, how much Coke is sold in what cities each week.
Coke?
Like Coca-Cola. Not the drug. Beverages.
It's like, man, they're really getting into it.
And, you know, most of Billboard's charts are actually powered by Nielsen's data. So, you know, when we talk about the Hot 100 each week or the Billboard 200, most of that stuff is all coming from Nielsen. So we thought it'd be fun, since we have an interview with Lars, to talk about the top, you know, selling albums of the Nielsen era, which is effectively the last 25 years, because we started using Nielsen data in the Billboard 200 in May of 1991, like I just said. But Nielsen actually started tracking sales a little bit before that, earlier that year. But effectively, it's like 25 years.
Yeah.
It's also a nice round number.
Yes.
Sort of round.
It's 25. A nice, solid number.
Thank you. Solid. That's a good word. So let's just start counting down. Oh, one more thing. These sales are through the week ending August 18th, 2016, in case you happen to be listening to this podcast sometime.
A year from now. 3 years from now,
yeah,
well, when the next Taylor Swift album comes out,
things
or
will have changed.
Who knows?
And again, these sales are only for the United States.
Yes.
So we're going to take turns, and we'll start off with number 10. Katie?
Well, I'd like to actually start out by pouring some out for NSYNC at number 11 with No Strings Attached.
Oh, you're just like, wait, number 11.
I just love NSYNC so much, so it bears mentioning. But our actual number 10, getting the real countdown
started.
What's
number 11? You didn't even say what the title
was. No Strings Attached, I said.
Oh, I wasn't sure.
But number 10 is Adele, 21, which actually is going to be the most current album on our top 10.
And how much has it sold?
Well, it actually sold 11.7 million copies.
Just 11.7.
That's all.
That's all. Just 11.
So that's all you have to do to get into this list is just break 11.7.
Just 11. 11.7.
The album came out in 2011, and it was number one in the U.S. for 24 non-consecutive weeks, I believe.
That is correct. And by the way, Katie and I did our research for this particular segment of the show independent of one another.
It's true.
So we don't know what the other person's going to say.
Yeah, and meanwhile, I'm talking to a charts expert and probably quoting stats from his own stories back at him. So
probably.
Hopefully I'm getting them right. But it is the longest chart topper by a female solo artist ever on the Billboard 200 with 24 weeks at number one. He looks skeptical right now.
I'm scrolling through my brain. I'm like, Carole King? No, I don't think so. And no, sure, I'll go with that.
All right, well, it's the internet said it, so it can't be wrong.
It's probably something I wrote.
Yes.
Well, number nine is an album by a band that many people love to hate.
Sure.
It is Human Clay by Creed. Now, people may hate on Creed, but they were incredibly popular in the very late 1990s and early 2000s. And this particular album sold 11.71 million copies. So Adele's 21 in maybe a year or two.
I was going to say, this one seems especially ripe to get picked off.
Yeah, ooh,
soon.
Dear. Well, you know, the album was an incredible success. And here are my fun chart stats. I don't have as many as Katie, but...
Oh, did I go too many?
Oh, I don't know.
Did I quote too many Keith... Fun facts at Keith.
In 1999, Creed frontman Scott Stapp told Billboard magazine that the band, quote, feels awkward making videos, but we're giving it another shot with Higher. And Higher evidently was the first single from Human Clay. Can you take me?
Huge, huge hit.
Very inspirational.
They were they always towed the line of whether they were a full-on Christian group.
Yeah, vaguely Christian,
yes.
Inspirational.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very, with arms wide open.
Yes.
You know, I can't, that's my Scott Stapp impersonation. It's not very good. Well, anyway, clearly the music video worked for Higher. The song, thanks in part to the wide popularity of its video, became the band's first top 10 hit on the Billboard Hot 100 chart, reaching number 7. That success set up the band for their first number 1 single, with arms wide open. Human Clay debuted at number one on the Billboard 200 chart in 1999 and spent 2 weeks at number one. The album would linger off and on in the top 10 all the way through early 2001. The album was just sort of inescapable and actually had a really interesting trajectory. It started off really big and then it fell out of the top 10 and then it came back like 4 or 5 months later when With Arms Wide Open became this huge like top 40 inescapable. Like they were unavoidable.
Truth.
And I think that's in part how people got really sort of burned out on them kind of quickly.
Yeah.
It's funny.
A blessing and a curse.
They had kind of gone out of their way to be kind of like a touring band that didn't do music videos and they were very rock focused. And then they opened up to the idea of making videos and becoming a little bit more top 40 friendly. And it was one of those things where it kind of worked, but also made people angry at them for some reason.
Yes.
So anyways, there's number nine, Creed Human Clay with 11.71 million copies sold.
All right. Well, we're on to number eight, which was a classic group, a Woodstock era group, actually. Woodstock group,
yeah.
that had a huge resurgence in 1999. This is Santana with the album Supernatural, which anyone who lived through that remembers Smooth with Rob Thomas very well.
Give me your heart, make it real.
Perhaps Maria Maria, assisted by one Wyclef Jean.
And the product G&B.
Oh my God, I'm just making things up now.
How about you just let me talk?
But Carlos Santana went to Clive Davis in the late 90s and said, like, I want to make music that's relevant now. And Clive Davis loved the idea and immediately thought, like, let's bring in all these huge acts so radio can't ignore this legacy act of Santana. You know, like, they're going to have to play the Dave Matthews Band, you know, song. They're going to have to play all these songs with these artists. And it became this massive selling album. It sold 11.9 million copies to date, which is insane. And like I said, the radio songs were just inescapable. So a few fun facts. One of the things that I really liked when researching these albums was the ones that didn't debut at number one and what albums they were stuck behind. Oh. I thought was interesting. So,
oh boy, I won't remember.
Well, this one is really interesting because it debuted at number 19 on the Billboard 200, not at number one. It was a slower burn. And Backstreet Boys' Millennium was number one the week that it debuted. It was July 3rd, 1999. And then it actually didn't end up going to number one until October 30th, so 4 months after that. So it just had a little bit of a different trajectory.
Yeah.
Carlos Santana became the first Hispanic artist to win Record of the Year for Smooth, which was also very interesting to me at the Grammys that year. It was the 2000 Grammys. And then this is especially interesting. It is the best-selling album of original material released by an artist who had already been inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. We will have another group that an album that came out after, or I should say, yeah, after they were in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, but it was not original material.
Uh-huh.
So that's the differentiation. But we'll wait and we'll let you know what that group is.
What a weird
later.
Wiki.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.